Wonderful to once again join with you in the house of the Lord on this beautiful first day of the week. It may have been a little bit chilly outside, but it is warm inside with the hearts of those who love the Lord and proclaim His death until the Lord comes. What a timely song we just sang, Send the Light. I'm looking forward to see that light with my own eyes, to gaze unto the heavens which are promised. And that's a light that many of us may long to see, but let us not think that is the only light that we are to be familiar with. Did you know that we as Christians here on earth are to be a light as well? It says in Matthew 5 and verse 14, you are the light of the world. It says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This is one of those statements which should cause us as Christians to lift up our heads high and to make us realize once more what a remarkable and glorious thing it is to be a child of God, to serve the one whom died for all mankind, the one who has gone to prepare a place for all who are found faithful. Paul writes in Ephesians 5:8, for you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, we have not only received the light which is Christ, that we have received into our lives and made us whole and made us new to make us stand out, but we have been made lights ourselves. Much like lanterns or lighthouses, we are to be beacons of light and to transmit the light that is within us, which is Christ Jesus, out to everyone and for them to see. You know, our light is meant to be seen, not to be hidden, not to be tucked away, not to be kept for ourselves, but it is to be seen. And not just to be seen at times like this when brothers and sisters in Christ come to worship our God and our Father on days like this, the first day of the week. But we're to show our light to our family, to our friends, to our co-workers, to our neighbors, to anyone and everyone that we can see and that can see us. We are to share and shine our light with all mankind that we come in contact with. Let us be transmitters of the light that glows within ourselves. Now, Christians should be just as much a child of God in their place of work, or in the place where they're at school, or on the playground, or the golf course, or the ball field, or wherever they may find themselves. How much more should that light shine there than it does in assemblies like this? Let our light shine, no matter where we are, and no matter whom we are with. Jesus did not say, you are the light of the church. He said, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine forth. We live in the world, but we're not to live of it. We're not to be slaves to it and to its desires. We as Christians should be evident to everyone to stand out, to have that glow of life and of love. Our good deeds ought to draw attention, not to ourselves, but to Christ. Why? Because He is the light that lives within us, and He gives us that light to shine. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth within me. We read in Galatians 2 and verse 20. And we are to be showing everyone that it's Christ that lives within us. And we do that by letting our light shine. But sometimes instead of letting our light shine, we end up shining our lights in the eyes of others. Have you ever stopped to think of the difference?
Have you ever stopped to think that maybe we are shining our light so great and so profound that it's forcing people to look at us, not Christ that lives within us? Or we tend to be working so hard to shine that beaming light that we tend to blind others and they turn their heads away and therefore cannot see what truly is magnificent about the light that Christ offers. Instead of behaving like a chosen generation or a royal priesthood, as we're referred to in the Bible, a holy nation, His own special people, like we read in 1 Peter in chapter 2. But we revel in the idea of standing out in the crowd so that all see us for our light. Sometimes even jumping in front of the spotlight. But that sends to draw attention to ourselves. And a study this morning showed us that the Scriptures say that's a danger. For it's not ourselves of whom we're drawing attention, but the light we shine is the light of Christ. That we bring others to the realization that it is He that can save them from a life of eternal damnation. Jesus warns us to not be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Do not draw attention to ourselves. Do not promote the light that is within us as being our own, because that would entail us to be hypocrites, much like what Jesus had called and referred them to. We spent some time this morning in Matthew chapter 6. I see no reason why we can't continue to study there as well. Like the young brother said before, repetition is what allows us to grow. It allows the Word to penetrate through the very layers of skin that we have. That it cuts away the callous parts of the heart so that we can fill ourselves up with the Word and study and make it our own. In Matthew and in chapter 6, we can read where this term hypocrite is used to describe those who draw attention to themselves, those who stand on the street corners, those who look for the applause and the attention of men. Passages like Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2. It's recorded there by Jesus saying, "Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your charitable deed may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." Don't be like a hypocrite. Don't be like those that are mentioned here of what Jesus is referring to, those who are doing so that others draw attention to themselves. Let the attention be given to where attention is due, and that is to Christ. He goes on and says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, not only when he talks about doing charitable deeds, do them in secret, not to draw attention to yourself, for it's not about you who is doing it, it's about those who are receiving the charity. He continues on and speaks of this aspect when it comes to prayer. And says in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." We use those verses this morning to discuss the way in which we are to pray, the do's and the don'ts. But that's not the only lesson we learn from those verses. We see here that when we do things in the name of the Lord, quote unquote, that it is to be about the Lord, not about us. Not the glory or the praise or the honor that we will receive as men or from men. That it's about God. It's about the glory that we have by serving Him, by following that which our Savior has come to proclaim, which is salvation. Such activities Or should I say such attitudes that are shown here by those who stand on the corner, by those who speak in order to bring praise by men. That attitude is something that is not what God would have us to do. Do not do those things because that does not result in the glorification of God. That merely brings attitudes of pleasure or satisfaction or pompous attitudes upon ourselves. Another verse in Matthew chapter 6 speaks of this same lesson. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, Jesus continues on and speaks about this method of fasting that they did during this time. It says in Matthew 6:16, it says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." Let us all strive to shine our light, but let our light point others to its source. The source is not man. The source is God. In looking at this and seeing in these examples, let us spend the remainder of our time looking at how we as Christians today must let our light shine. The first thing I want to address is the way in which we dress, the clothing that we wear. Are you allowing your light that is within you, that light with this, which is Christ, that which gives you life and eternal hope of salvation, is that seen through you by the way in which you dress, by the apparel that you wear? You know, God commands us in 1 Timothy in chapter 2 to wear modest apparel. Though more directly it is addressed to women, I believe it can apply to men as well. It's a lesson there that we are to cover our bodies appropriately. To not do what the world says. The world says, show what God gave you. God says, dress modestly. Now this is hard to do in the times that we're living in. Much more difficult than I think it has been in years past. Nowadays, it's very hard to find modest clothing, especially for the females, the kids, and the women. Everything on the top seems to be cut low. Everything on the bottom seems to be cut high. And sometimes they're even cutting out the middle altogether. And the reason why I say this is because many of you know that I'm a father of three girls. And it is important to me, in order to dress them and to present them proper, even in the home as well as outside in public. Why? Because they are creatures of God. And if they cannot respect themselves or their parents in the way that they dress, how can I explain that they're or feel confident that they're going to rely on God, that they're going to follow Him, that they're going to respect Him? So I definitely think the way in which we dress, the clothing that we wear in covering ourselves, is a true and very proper reason why we need to make sure that we are letting our light shine. Because as everyone is around us, all eyes are on those who proclaim to be serving the risen Lord. It's not like when I was young. When I was young, the mothers made most of the clothing for the children. Probably most of the adults and the fathers as well. But that's not always the case nowadays. It's not to say that you can't wear clothes that are beautiful. It's not to say that you can't wear clothes made of beautiful and nice, flattering materials. But in all things, do in moderation. And that applies to our dress as well. Are you letting your light shine? Your Christian light shine? And the way in which you dress and carry yourself? What about in our language? What about in the way that we speak? What light are we letting shine when we choose the words to utter? Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to be imitators of God. that we are to walk in love. And he lists things that are not fitting for Christians to do. And he does this in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. This list that he lists in Ephesians 5 and verse 3 begins by saying, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Take no part in these things which are labeled fornication. Take no part in these things that are labeled as uncleanness. Let not covetousness fall upon you." That is not the way in which the children of God are to be. He continues on and says, not only is it not fitting for the saints to be involved in these things, he says not only those, he says neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Give thanks with the words that you choose. Let your speech be seasoned with love and with the generosity of Christ. I don't believe he banned all humor. He's not saying that there's not a time in which we can't chuckle, that we can't make a laugh or make someone laugh when they're attempting to cry, that we cannot find a sense of humor or have joy. But he's saying that we need to make sure that we understand that our language is very, very valuable and very impressionable. And that we talked some weeks ago about the tongue being one of the most difficult things for the human body to control, that it cannot be controlled by itself. Because with it we can speak praises and blessings, but at the same time we can curse those around us. That we need to choose our words carefully and use our language properly. And looking at this list, I understand that there was one thing that stood out to me that I had to dig a little bit deeper for. And that was when it mentions coarse jesting. When we talk about coarse jesting, that is best defined as that which is identified by its vulgarness or its lewd use of words or meaning. That's what coarse jesting is. It's something that we need to make sure we understand that that is not approved by God and that His Word speaks against it. That is something that a tool of the devil uses. It is not the children of God and the way they communicate. Let us enjoy the language that we have. The language that we've been getting, that we've studied, and that we use to communicate that which Christ has put within us. His light. And that we communicate our light to others by way of our language. Remember the passage from Colossians 3 and verse 17? It says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Let us use our words and our language to shine our light into a dark world. Are we letting our light shine through our prayers? Something that we spent some time talking about this morning. Another passage that we read there in Matthew chapter 6 is down in verse 11. It was one that was part of that model prayer that we read and studied this morning. Matthew 6 and verse 11 and says, "Give us this day our daily bread." He commands us to pray. And He commands us to pray with Him daily. Ask Him for those things that are needed. Those things that weigh heavy upon our minds. And how do we do that? We do that through prayer. It's not a literal meal that we're speaking of, our daily bread. I believe that could be considered part of it. After all, we do need to feed the bodies which we are housed in at this time in order to gain the strength and the nourishment in order to continue day in and day out. But we're not literally talking about a meal that we would sit down and that we would partake in the earthly, fleshly sense. We're talking about all things that are needed. That which we need to sustain our lives yet another day. And use those lives to shine our light into the world. Giving thanks for providing us with all that we need is truly necessary. Those things that we need in order to live. And we do that through the avenue of prayer. Doing so with proper reverence and respect toward God, and with great humility on our part, recognizing the relationship that we have between ourselves and the Almighty Creator. It's not like the Pharisees. The Pharisees, as Jesus described here in Matthew chapter 6, those that would stand on the side and utter words in order to pray on the street corner so that all may see them and come and praise and honor them. Let our prayers honor God, and let our prayers shine our lights of Christianity. Have you ever been out to a restaurant to where you have paused at the beginning of the meal and given thanks? Do you do that in order for those around you to see you and to pat you on your back, to give you a warm smile? Or do you pray in order to truly thank God for all that He has given to you, to ask His blessing upon you, possibly upon that meal, and upon the days in which that are coming that you will walk through this world and ask His help? Are you letting your light shine through your prayers? What about in the use of your money, the funds in which we need in order to live in this world today? God teaches us to be good stewards of our resources, and money is a resource. He did not command us to live in poverty. He did not command us to give of everything so that we have nothing and we have to battle and fight and struggle for everything that we need in order to live in this life. He says we are to give all things up to Him, to offer them and to use them, to let Him use our resources to be His resources in order to spread the message of the gospel. But it takes some of those things to make our way through this world. It takes money to live this life. An honest day's wage for an honest day's work is what the lesson the Bible teaches us. And let us always know that money is not evil. It's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And that's what we read in 1 Timothy and in chapter 6. Money is necessary. It is needed for us to continue to meet in a place like this, to have transportation to and from, in order to gather together, in order to feed ourselves and clothe ourselves and our families, and to offer shelter so that we can live in this life. But let not the love of money substitute for the usefulness that we have with one another. God does command us to give. He commands us to give of our time, of ourselves, and He oft tells us to give of our obedience. Give of that which we have been given. He says on the first day of the week we are commanded to give, to lay by in store. We're reminded of that in 1 Corinthians 16. But Paul also writes in the second letter to Corinthians this verse. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." I believe that applies to our time. I believe that applies to our abilities and to our efforts. But it also applies to our money. We need to be able to let our light shine through our giving of all things. How beautiful and splendid is it to see God work through our hands, work through our efforts, work through the things in which we allow Him to do with what He has given us. We're strengthened. We're built up. But most importantly, let Him be glorified. Do you allow the light within your heart, the light that Christ embedded within you when you became a child of His, to shine throughout your worship? When we come together on the first day of the week to worship God as we are commanded to do, do you allow that light to shine? Do you understand that all things be done decently in order with the assembling of the saints? Do we stop and realize, like what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews 2 and verse 12? It says, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. Do we stop and realize the reason why we worship is for God? Do we realize that if we are not attending our worship services and our gatherings with Him at the forefront of our mind, are we truly worshiping Him properly? Are we letting our light shine in submission to Him? Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's why we sing. That's how we should sing. In our worship, our light should shine by the way in which we sing. Sing not to hear the person next to us and how a beautiful sound that they make with their voice, but we're singing to God. That is why we sing. And we lift our voices to Him, to worship Him, to praise Him, to thank Him, for He is our God. And when do we do that? We do that by the example found in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says, now on the first day of the week, that is when the disciples came together to break bread. The first day of the week. Not once a year. Not when it's most convenient. Not when everyone can schedule that time from their calendars and make sure that there's nothing else going on, no other distractions. God comes first. We're to worship Him on the first day of the week. Are you letting your light shine through your worship? Do you find yourself coming to the assemblies for what you need or what you get out of it? Don't get me wrong. I can't make it a week without joining with the brothers and sisters. I can't make it without worshiping God. I can't make it without opening His Word and studying from it. Because the things which I am facing, and I'm no different than you, I don't have the answers for. But I know God does. I know that Christ walked this earth and He is faced with all of those things that I'm going to be faced with. And He had victory over them. And you know what? He tells me I can too. Yes, I need to worship. Yes, I need to attend the assembling of the saints. And yes, I need to do so according to all of those commands which are set within our Bibles, God's Word. But it's not for me, it's for Him. He commands it. He deserves it. That's why I give it. We assemble and worship God and glorify Him before all other things. For our worship is for Him and to Him, not to ourselves. So in closing, let me make these statements to you and reminders to myself that God wants spiritual fruit from all of His children. He wants our lights to shine. He wants them to shine in the world around us because we are living in the midst of people who are in a state of spiritual darkness. They don't know what lies ahead, or they close their eyes so they do not have to see it. They're lost without a direction. There are so many questions without answers. And I'm a firm believer that all those who seek the truth will find it through God's Word. And I am a firm believer that heaven awaits for all who are found righteous. Not according to what I say. Not according to what I feel. Not according to what the man next door might say or the woman next door proclaims. It's what God says, and He says it right here in His Word. I'm merely uttering words that have already been said before. But I do know that it is our job in order to take this Word and study it. To fill ourselves up with the light that is contained within. And that we not hide it ourselves, but we share it to anyone and everyone who is around us. There will never find light anywhere in the world except through Christ. And there are people that we all know that will never meet anyone else that could put them in touch with a personal relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, except maybe us. Would you deny anyone who is searching for that light if there's anything you can do to help them? They're watching us, and we're watching them. And what we need to show them is that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But you don't have to wait till the tunnel ends to receive the light. Christ has given His light to all those who call upon Him faithfully. But as He says, Christians are the light of the world. So let us live and function as children of light. If we do that, souls will be added to the kingdom. The doors of heaven will burst open and await all those who are longing to join their God and their Creator for all eternity. Will you let your light shine? Will you open the doors that have been closed by so many others so many other times? Allow the doors to open. Let the light within you shine and bring others to a personal relationship with Christ. Is there something that we can do? Has your light dimmed? Or do you know of someone whose light is dimmed? What can we do to help? If there's anything that we can do, please let us know. It's our desire to go to heaven. And it's our desire to take anyone else who would like to go. How do you get there? Through God's Word. It's hearing His Word proclaimed. It's believing that His Word is true. It's making that confession of good faith. It is proclaiming that, repenting of all those things that are wrong, and proclaiming that Christ is the way. The one way to the Father is through the Son. It's by putting off the world, being washed clean through the waters of baptism, and serving the risen Savior from this day forward. Can we help you with that? If there's someone that we can help, please let us know. And whatever we can do to strengthen you with your relationship with God now, you have that opportunity to make it known. Please take advantage of that time as we stand now and as we sing this song of encouragement.